WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. The recession really did a number on the nation's unemployed, especially African Americans. Now, many are crawling back into the job market, and a lot of you are working again. But what are the rules for conducting yourself on the job? Etiquette, personal attire, texting, use of company property? Well, some things have changed, and some have not. How do you navigate the choppy waters to make sure you keep your job? Well, joining me to talk about this are etiquette coach Barbara Holt-Streeter and Colleen Kettenhoffen, author of Secret Your Boss Isn't Telling You. If you want to be part of the conversation, if you have a question about something that you've seen on your job, about how you need to conduct yourself, things that you have questions about, give me a call right now. The lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. You're also welcome to comment on my Facebook page at facebook.com/Harold T. Fisher or follow me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR. Barbara, Colleen, thank you both for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Harold.
Okay. So here's the first question. I know we're talking about how you conduct yourself on the job, but I'll start with Barbara, and certainly Colleen, you can chime in on this one. What about during the interview process? You know, these days, you know, they do the phone interviews, and if you get that far, then they bring you in. And sometimes, you know, if it's, you know, a management position, your supervisor and his or her supervisor may take you to lunch. So here's the question. If your potential supervisor orders an adult beverage during that lunch, do you join them? Barbara.
Good question. Good question. I always lean to the right in terms of the etiquette in regards to the adult beverage. I think the safest beverage is water.
Not even Kool-Aid.
Tea. And juice. You are safe that way because you never want to show that particular side in an interview. And you never know if they're testing you to find out what you will do, how you will handle the situation, and what you will order. So I definitely would say water, juice, iced tea.
Okay. Colleen, what if he or she says, go ahead, have one. It's on me.
I would agree with Barbara. I would feel that the safest beverage is a non-alcoholic beverage because I've heard too many stories from interviewers where the person did get drunk or they couldn't handle their alcohol, and they told them a lot more than they really wanted to know. I've also heard that some of them purposely take them to lunch because they've noticed that some applicants feel that when they're at lunch, it's as if the interview is over or it's not an interview, and they find out more about them. They look to see how do they treat the waiter or the waitress.
Mm.
Also, if they salt their food mm-hmm. before they taste it, they consider that person to be somebody who makes rash decisions.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I never thought about that.
That's a very good point because, you know, people have to understand that during lunch is really the most important time during the interviewing process because, unfortunately, we're very more relaxed than what we should be. Mm-hmm. And we need to be able to keep at the same level the entire time. And I'm glad you mentioned that, Colleen, in regards to the wait staff, because really that's all a part of dining etiquette. Because mm-hmm. when you sit down to eat, the first thing you do, you don't salt your food. Mm-hmm. You taste the food first. So they're looking at all those different angles to make those prejudgment concerns and questions about you.
One more thing about that lunch. So what if they take you to a restaurant that has, you know, white glove service, and perhaps you're not familiar with that? Or, you know, which, you know, if you have five forks and three glasses, okay, come on, Barbara, help me out here. You know, that not all of us, you know, had the, you know, the training that that our parents perhaps may have had. So what do you do?
Right. Well, the rule of thumb is always you sort of follow the host. And we're hoping that the host or the manager clearly knows the etiquette rules as well. That's what we hope. And that's typically the case. But, you know, think outside the box and always work outside in when you're dining. But typically that manager will begin to direct on when he or she will begin to start the meal.
Interesting. Okay. Well, so let's say you get the job, and this is a professional setting, an office setting, a private company. Let's talk about appropriate attire. You know, these days, the modern office may not necessarily be cubicles. It may not necessarily be offices. You may have open space. You may have young people mixed with, you know, multi-generational workers. Colleen, we've seen some of these young folks who are making, you know, six-figure salaries and managers, but, you know, hey, look, they come in on with flip-flops and the like. Even if it's a relaxed atmosphere, how should one dress?
A lot of managers and human resources folks have told me that now they are being so specific in their handbooks and policies and procedures manuals in terms of what's allowed and what's not allowed, no see-through material, no gauze, no flip-flops. Some of them have told me they have even put pictures, Harold, into the handbook, because before when they would say professional attire, well, nowadays everybody's definition is different of what's professional attire. And actually, in one of my chapters, I didn't mention the name of the organization, but one of my clients actually put on a what not to wear fashion show, and it was all in fun. It was done by their staff because it's a Parks and Recreation District, and they mm-hmm. have a lot of young people in the summer. And they said they got the point across, but with a sense of humor, because what I'm hearing is a lot of them truly don't know what's professional. And like it or not, and I think Barbara would agree with me on this, people do judge you mm-hmm. to a certain extent on your appearance and how you present yourself.
Mm-hmm. Barbara, your thoughts about that?
That is so true. It's your image. You walk in the room, your image will begin to dictate who you are before you even open your mouth, what you have on. And I'm so glad you said that, Colleen, because we hear the terms casual, corporate business, business casual. What does that mean? And if you don't know, you ask your HR director. You have to know the culture where you're working, because some areas and some corporations may allow you to wear the flip-flops. We have Friday jeans, casual wear on Fridays. You need to find out what is appropriate in that particular environment.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. We're talking about navigating the choppy waters of that job, the new job, or perhaps one you've had, you know, for a while. How do you keep it? How do you conduct yourself? What do you wear? What not to wear? We'll be back in just a moment. This is the Insight segment on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141.
A brighter tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We're discussing how to navigate the choppy waters of a new job or perhaps an old job, etiquette, professional attire. How do you conduct yourself? Texting, using company property and the like. My guests are etiquette coach Barbara Holt-Streeter and Colleen Kettenhoffen, the author of Secrets Your Boss Isn't Telling You. The lines are open at 855-288-4876. That's 855-288-4876. Inside the D.C. calling area, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can also comment on my Facebook page at facebook.com/Harold T. Fisher, or follow me on Twitter at H. Fisher, W-H-U-R. Lynn, calling from Silver Spring, you want to address an issue with a school administrator?
Yes, hello.
Hi.
I wanted to talk about how there's such a wide spectrum of how teachers come to school or to work dressed, whether it's elementary, middle school, high school.
Okay, go ahead.
How do you expect, what is the expectation of administrators where there are schools that have handbooks, yet there is no specific statement in a county or what have you that talks about appropriate work attire? I've seen people come to work with cleavage showing, no bra, stuff that's very tight, their thong showing. I mean, how do you expect children to learn in an appropriate manner when their teacher looks like they just came out of a nightclub, or if what they have on is just not appropriate? Torn up jeans.
Wow.
You know, T-shirt. I mean, it's very hard to set the standard for, you know, taking a professional seriously when they look like that. And also in front of parents, when you have parent meetings and things like that, I have a very hard time having older kids looking at a teacher when they're trying to have a conference with me and they look like they just rolled out of bed.
Okay, so let's talk about inside the school, because I think it's difficult to address what parents wear, but when you're talking about teachers and staff, Barbara and Colleen, I'll let you also chime in. Go ahead,
Barbara. Sure, Lynn. Great question and concern, particularly if you are a parent and you notice this. One of the first things I would definitely suggest is that you speak with the principal and you share your concerns, because that's really important. We have to understand that children are with our teachers 6 hours a day, and that's who they're looking at. And so if they see that teacher shirt is too low or is too, some of the clothes are too tight, that's what they see. And they will begin to think it's okay to do. So I definitely would share with the principal, if you did not have a relationship with the teacher, but share with the principal your concerns, because that wouldn't be acceptable from that standpoint.
Colleen?
Well, I think it's so true what the caller was saying about teachers and administrators. Because they must set the example. And I really do think it starts with the principal, just letting the teachers and the school administrators know you are the role model for these young people, and you're setting an example, whether it's a positive one or not, for what is acceptable in the workplace. And it's interesting what she had just said, because there was one organization where I was conducting a public speaking seminar, and I had some free time during the break, and I noticed their dress code was posted, and one of the things that it said was no thongs showing. And it's amazing that we've gotten to that point, but you know, your caller even had brought that up. So like you said, you really can't tell the parents what to do, but certainly it starts with the school administrators mm-hmm. and the teachers.
Before I take another break, I want people to know how they can contact either one of you. Barbara, your website?
That's MrsPRProtocol.com. That's MrsPRProtocol.com.
MrsPRProtocol.com. And Colleen?
My website is bounceback hire.com. That's bounceback, and then hire, like H-I-G-H-E-R, is in bounce back hire from adversity.
Okay.
I also have bounce back hire, H-I-R-E.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You have all the bases covered.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, bouncebackhire.com and MrsPRProtocol.com. We're going to take a break, but if you are on the phone, that includes Guy in Temple Hills, Glenn calling from Virginia, and Healthy calling from Herndon, please do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program after 7:30 on the phone. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. We'll continue with how you conduct yourself on the job to keep from losing that job. Stay with us. We'll be back on SiriusXM in just a bit.
Howard University Radio Network is WHUR World on HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, HUR Voices, SiriusXM 141, and 96.3 WHUR Washington, the adult mix.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on HUR Voices, SiriusXM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're discussing tonight the rules for conducting yourself on the job in 2013. Some things have changed. And some things haven't. How do you navigate the choppy waters to make sure you keep the job that you so dearly covet? My guests are etiquette coach Barbara Holt-Streeter and Colleen Kettenhoffen, the author of the book Secrets Your Boss Isn't Telling You. The lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Healthy, calling from Herndon, Virginia. You have a question about management. Go right ahead. Healthy, are you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. What's on your mind?
The job market is so, you know, heavy right now that people are taking jobs that they have far more experience and degrees than the job requires.
Okay.
And I've seen situations where managers may not have as much education, and they are...
Oh, gosh, we lost her. Oof. Healthy, please call us back. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. If you call us back, I promise I will take your call. I'm really interested in hearing what you have to say. Let's go to Glenn calling from Virginia. Glenn, you wanted to comment about ordering the drink at the interview or business lunch.
Yeah, I think that's not a great opportunity to do. Like, I feel that's a red flag. I feel, because I feel that how far would you go to do that? Like, I feel that they keep it minimal. Like, say, well, it's all about respect. I don't drink. I thank you very much for the comment, but I feel that, I think that would be the appropriate thing to do. I say, because I say, you try to get a job, just have a good clean attitude, where you speak,
mm-hmm.
very appropriate when you dress and all those type of things. They probably check and look at all those things in the first place anyway, to how far you would go in the first place. I feel that it's all about respect to a point. Keep your word more manageable, stuff like that. Very telling when you talk, how to get a job. That's what you have to do. Like, the appropriate way when you dress. It depends where you, like I said, candid dress or what type of job it is. When you go, you're very clean and all that.
Yeah.
And very good. Exactly what you're looking at.
Yeah, I agree, Glenn. Thank you so much. You make excellent points. And here's something else. Not every job is an office job. Mm-hmm. I mean, they could hire you as, you know, a plumber, right. Or they could hire you as a manager, you know, on a, you know, as a construction foreman. But, and I think, and Colleen and Barbara, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, here's the thing. If they're doing that, even though it may be dirty, heavy lifting work, how do you dress for the interview when they say they want you to come in for an interview? Because that could be tricky. Mm-hmm. Do you wear a suit and tie, or do you come in clean jeans and clean, you know, work boots how do you deal with that?
That's a very good point. I always suggest know the culture. If that means asking ahead of time, what is the business attire? What is the attire for the workday? That's important. You never can go wrong with a suit and tie. You never can go wrong. That interviewer could easily ask you, you know what, rush your tie, relax a little bit. And then you're in that comfortable stage. So you always can dress high and bring that level down. Mm. So that's very important.
Great point. Colleen, your thoughts about that?
I have had interviewers tell me that even if they're going to be speaking with an applicant who's applying to be a bartender, they would rather they show up dressed professionally because they feel like they're showing more respect for the job and for the person who is interviewing them. And I think, you know, you can't go wrong with tasteful, tailored, and traditional. Certainly, I think it depends on the industry. If it's an advertising job and it's up here in Portland, Oregon, maybe you're going to be a little bit more creative and colorful than you would if you're applying to work at a bank in Washington, D.C. But really what they've told me is when somebody dresses professionally, even if they are overdressed, it just shows respect for the interviewer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as I think about that, even if you're going for a job on a construction site as a manager or manager in training or just one of the many workers on the site, you know, I would imagine that the person who's hiring you may have a newfound respect. If you come in with a shirt and tie and he says, well, you know, this is dirty work, you're going to be lifting, you know, and I guess my response would be, yes, it is, but this is still a professional atmosphere. And at least for this interview, you know, yes. I'm a professional. I'm going to wear my jeans and my check shirt and my hard hat and my work boots from here on out. But on this day, yes. This is what you're dealing with.
Yeah, and that's the key. You set the standard on how you want people to respect you. You set the standard. So if you come in with the suit and the tie, they know from the beginning, this is a person that is looking to continue to move up in the company. You aspire to dress for the position that you want to be at, not where you are.
Okay.
It's very important.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. Guy calling from Temple Hills, Maryland. You wanted to make a comment about attire. Guy, are you there? Go ahead.
Yeah. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
Man, this is a great topic. I'm 56 years old.
Okay.
I come up old school, right? And I totally agree with those ladies. You are judged by your appearance. The first impression means everything. And I was telling your receptionist earlier that you see these young ladies walking around with things so tight, you can see their heart beating their posterior. And their cleavage, everything showing, and in a work environment. And I totally agree with the two ladies when they were talking about how you should dress, classy and tasteful,
mm-hmm.
you know, at all times. Because these young boys nowadays don't even know how to tie a tie. I've been to several funerals and weddings, and they come in Tims and jeans and boots. Man, there's no place for it to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people do judge you about how you look and how you carry yourself, all the way from the police officer to the teacher to the clerk behind the cash register in the Giant.
There you go. Well, Guy, thank you so much. You make a great point. We are talking about conducting yourself on the job, what you need to do to make sure you keep your job. My guests are Barbara Holt-Streeter, she's an etiquette coach, and Colleen Kettenhoffen, the author of Secrets Your Boss Isn't Telling You. Phone number is 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Okay, now let's talk about body art, Colleen and Barbara. Tattoos. It seems that everyone has a tattoo these days. Some of them more prominent than others. There are conspicuous piercings as well. But let's start with the tattoos. My goodness, how do you deal with that, Colleen?
I think that less is more. You certainly don't want to be excessive. I would say with the piercings, I would hide them, body piercings, unless you're applying for a job at a record store. I would say the tats, just be careful. be cautious and once again be thinking, what is the job that you're interviewing for? What is the region of the country? You know, especially what's the industry of the job that you are applying for? And just, I think it goes back to err on the side of having more of a conservative appearance, because you may be interviewing with somebody like Guy, your previous caller from Maryland. He said, you know, I'm old school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And full disclosure, I have tattoos. Okay. But, you know, I do. And, but, it would take a lot for you to see them. So I don't have that. I don't have that issue. But I must say that, you know, I see a lot of them. Mm-hmm. I know they're popular, and not every person who has them is a young person. You know, we mm-hmm. see people right. that are in their, you know, 50s, you know, 40s, you know, 60s, working people. And I'm not talking about, you know, the heart on the forearm or the U.S. Navy. I'm talking about
right.
full blown, you know, Smithsonian display art. So, you know, Barbara, mm-hmm. Do you put makeup on it? You know, for women, I know the men, you can't, you know, they've got tattoos on your neck, and
right,
you got the Chris
right.
Brown thing going on.
Right.
But
you know what? You said a very key word, popular. See, popular is not always professional.
Okay.
And that's the key. You know, you just mentioned you have tattoos. We would not have known that unless you,
right,
unless
exactly.
you shared that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're not saying, you know, however you decide to live your life with tattoos, that's your choice. But you have to be very cautious on where you place these tattoos. And particularly from a woman's perspective, think about women wearing evening gowns, and they decided to get this really nice tattoo on the back of their back. And now they've decided to wear a nice evening gown and their back is exposed.
Yeah, and they've got a huge phoenix on
right,
their back.
Right, right. What do you do? Exactly, exactly. So makeup should be your number one friend as a woman at that point.
Okay.
That's important.
Okay, pedicures, manicures. Okay, now everyone, let me speak as a man. Okay. Every man, you know, loves to see a woman who has, you know, nice hands and the like. But, and Barbara, let's say you have a very nice manicure, a nice conservative pink, nails are done, great, you know, great skin contrast. We can talk about the shape, too. Looking good there, Barbara.
No, thank you.
You know, but, wow, sometimes... You know, let me just say there have been times when I've gone into stores and I've seen, you know, really, really long nails, and holding a pen, much less doing other personal things, I just don't see how they even grab a glass of water. But, Colleen, how do you speak to an employee about that kind of thing, particularly when it requires so much time and energy and money to grow long nails or the like? Or, and sometimes, we've got all kinds of manicures and designs. What works and what doesn't?
Well, I think first thing is it going to get in the way of the job that the person is doing in terms of productivity? I think it's better to go shorter with the nails mm-hmm. than longer. And I'll tell you, Harold, when I was writing my book, Secrets Your Boss Isn't Telling You, and doing the research for the first chapter, which is how to get a great job and keep it, and then a later chapter, how to tell if your boss really likes you or is just going through the motions,
mm-hmm.
I was surprised at how much appearance matters. I mean, we all know that it matters, but I was shocked at how much it matters in terms of appearance and grooming when they are interviewing people, and how it can make you or break you for getting a job and also for securing a promotion.
Mm.
I mean, it seemed to matter even more than I thought.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I guess, you know, these days it's always good to have a good professional mentor, someone that you listen to that, you know, that you can say, you know, what should I do? So we're going to be your professional mentor for the next 15 minutes on this program. Phone number 202-319-7810 outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us. Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about rules for conducting yourself on the job in 2013. My guests are etiquette coach Barbara Holt-Streeter and Colleen Kettenhoffen, author of Secrets Your Boss Isn't Telling You. All right, now let's talk about appropriate conversations with your colleagues and your supervisors. Sometimes, Colleen, we are working in really close quarters. And I don't mean just physical close quarters, but you work so closely with people, you have intimate, not sexually intimate, but you have intimate emotional connections and conversations with your colleagues. How do you maintain a healthy, friendly atmosphere without TMI?
Well, I think the first TMI, be careful not to be too negative, because negativity, subversiveness, chronic complaining is a huge frustration of bosses and really workers as well, because that person becomes like a cancer that spreads. If they're allowed to get away with it, it just starts to affect everybody, and that whiner becomes what I call a water cooler instigator. I think, too, people have to be careful. You know, don't gossip. I mean, I know a lot of people listening would say, but Colleen, gossip, that's half the fun of coming to work. And it can be. What you have to be careful of, though, is people start to wonder, what is he or she? I wonder what they're saying about me when I'm not around. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they realize that is how they're coming across. So negativity is a major pet peeve with bosses and employees, as well as drama, the disruptive gossips, the tattletales, the people that talk about their personal life all day, every day. It just starts to become a drag on people, not to mention on productivity.
There you go. Your thoughts, Barbara?
It's interesting, Colleen, that you said gossip, because I was sharing the same thing. Gossip really leads to people thinking that you're untrustworthy. They don't trust you, you know? And so when you don't trust someone, that leads to other things, and that really damages your image and your reputation from that standpoint. So you want to always be able to be the person that you're the go-to person. They respect you. They respect your opinions and your thoughts, not the person at the water cooler that is talking about what happened yesterday around the corner or what she or he did at the club. You leave those comments and conversations outside of the workplace.
So what happens if someone is constantly coming to you, or someone's plural, people are constantly coming to you with the gossip, even though you're not a gossiper? You know, that gets kind of tricky, because perhaps you don't want to alienate them. So do you listen and not comment? Do you tell them, I don't want to hear the gossip, or what?
Well, you know, here, I always look at it from the standpoint, tell me how this is going to, will this hurt or help someone in terms of the gossip? Am I going to help you get to the next level because you are gossiping, or am I really going to hurt and offend someone that will really damage their reputation? So when gossip comes to me, and I've worked in every environment from faith-based to the political environment, where you know there is a lot of gossip.
No.
A lot of gossip, let me tell you.
Can you believe that? Gossip in the political arena, Colleen?
Yes, yes.
Who'd have thunk it?
And I've learned to just say, you know what? I am too busy. I cannot participate with the gossip. I can't. I have to focus on what I need to do.
Now, here's an interesting question on my Facebook page, and they're asking other ladies to speak about this. Daryl is writing, he has a young cousin. He's 21 years old. He's in need of a job. He's also trying to grow locks and doesn't think he needs to cut them to make an impression. Ironically, Daryl says, I am 48. I've been growing locks for 10 years. But Daryl says he would cut them if he was up for a new job or executive promotion. This is a cultural thing. It is a dicey issue, particularly among African Americans in the corporate world. I'll start with you, Barbara.
Sure. Actually, I was experiencing that with my nephew. I have an 18-year-old nephew. He is intelligent. He's well-rounded. He's a go-getter. And he's going to just do great things. So he decides that he wanted to start locking his hair. And he asks Aunt Barbara, should I? And I said, what do you think Aunt Barbara will say? The answer is no. Get the job first and then find out the culture. Because you don't want to walk in. Depending on the industry, locks may work well. It will work well and it will be a compliment. But if it's an environment that it will be shunned upon and you may not even be able to get your foot in the door, wait. As long as it takes to grow locks, it takes the same amount of time to continue to grow your business and grow what you're doing professionally.
Colleen, your thoughts?
I think if you're the friend or the relative, let this person know you're coming from the standpoint of genuinely trying to help them. You're giving them this advice because you really want to see them get the job. It's not from a parental standpoint. And I think they're probably less likely to rebel. And, you know, just find out how much they really want the job, because sometimes people will say they want a particular job, but maybe there's something also about that job where they would have to move out of their comfort zone and it scares them a little bit. So I think just coming from the standpoint that you're really there to help them and you know that that could hinder them if they don't make the change.
Okay. Let's talk about the use of social media and phone texting. Here in this communications industry, I know that our disc jockeys, they are texting all the time. They are tweeting. They're communicating on multiple platforms with listeners. Same thing for, you know, reporters and TV, but not everyone has that kind of job. And yet I've heard complaints that in boardrooms, and I mean board, B-O-A-R-D, not B-O-R-E-D, board, although some of them probably would consider them boring, that people are texting under the table while the boss is conducting a meeting and the like. Is it common sense, or have we just gotten to the point where it's like texting and driving? It's against the law, but people do it anyway until somebody gets hurt. Colleen.
I have heard from numerous bosses that when they're talking to somebody or even leading a meeting and they're standing and leading the meeting, and you two know this, they see people texting under the table, and they just feel like it indicates a complete lack of respect. And as you said, Harold, it depends on the job that you're in. But it really comes down to manners and respect. I've also talked with a lot of managers who feel that, and certainly this is not everybody that's young, but they feel that a lot of young people right out of college, that when they first come in and work for their organization, they said they almost think that they're addicted to texting and technology because they can't seem to stop until it becomes such an issue that they finally have to talk with them about it or get human resources involved. So it's definitely a problem. They also tell me they feel like it's getting to where some people very young right out of school are not talking in complete sentences.
Exactly.
They're talking
exactly
the way that they would text.
Okay, Barbara.
Exactly. That is so true. And it's interesting you say that because oftentimes I have found that depending on your environment, I worked for a boss and he texted all the time in the middle of a meeting, outside of a meeting, when he was presenting. And so you lead from by example. So if he texts, then we will follow with the text. And we saw that after a while, we didn't have dialogue with one another. We didn't know how to have a conversation, as you mentioned, Colleen, because we constantly text. We would literally be sitting right beside each other and we're texting.
Oh, gosh.
That makes no sense. But we have to be able to show, particularly our young future leaders and even the older ones, as an older man mentioned, that texting is appropriate when needed. But at the same time, you have to be able to have that conversation. And you may have to say no text day or, you know, no phone day, no email day. Let's get up and have a conversation. Mm. That's the key. Let's connect.
Wow. Okay. So as I'm running out of time, let's talk about the worst days to call off work. We've had this conversation in the newsroom today where people say the worst days to call off are Friday and Monday, particularly if you're just starting the job. So, Barbara, how do you deal with, you know, feeling poorly, not sick, but just a little under the weather? Do you bring it on in to work and let them send you home, or do you just, how do you deal with that?
You know, if you're able to get out of the bed to brush your teeth and get something to eat, then you're able to go to work.
Okay.
And if you are that sick, then you would then go to the hospital. I say push to your position. Push to your position. If you get to work, at least they know that you've made a valid effort to arrive to work. Mm-hmm. Then it's easier at that point to leave.
Okay, and let them send you home. Okay, Colleen, so what's your boss not telling you about calling in sick?
What they're telling me is that, admittedly, when somebody does call in sick on a Friday or a Monday, they often wonder, is this person really sick, or are they wanting a three-day weekend? And especially if somebody is new, it goes back to, it's all about first impressions. And I've really found in the business world, and maybe just in life in general, but, you know, in terms of people having success, it's not just what you know or who you know, but how well you get along with others.
Mm. Well, I want to thank...
So make every attempt to be there.
Well, I want to thank both of you. Barbara Holt Streeter, who can be found at Mrs. PR Protocol. .com or Bounce Back Hire for Colleen Kettenhoffen, bouncebackhire.com. And of course, her book is Secrets Your Boss Isn't Telling You. I tell you, if somebody wrote a book that said, you know, that had the title Secrets Your Boss Isn't Telling You, I'd snap it up because I want to know what the boss isn't telling you. So, Colleen, it's good to talk to you again.
Thank you
so much for coming on the program, Barbara. Always good to see you. Thank you.
Likewise,
so much.
Likewise. Thank you.
Well, that is the Daily Drum for this Monday, August 5th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can reach me at hfisher@whur.com, on Facebook or Twitter at hfisherwhur. Now stay tuned for the Hank Suite with Mark and Troy. Good night.